Good morning. It's again a great pleasure to welcome you, your delegation here in Parliamentary. We congratulate you on your courage in the fight for democracy, freedom and justice. And we have time. You can speak about 12 minutes in the beginning. Then each group parliamentary speaks 3 minutes, and in the final you have again 12 minutes to speak. I give you the word. You can speak.
Good morning, dear friends, members of the Commission on Foreign Affairs. I really appreciate this opportunity to speak in front of you and to update information about Belarus. I would like to start with the words of gratitude to parliamentarians who launched the group for Democratic Belarus yesterday in the Portuguese Parliament. It's a very important decision for us as Belarusian Democratic Forces. Portugal is 23rd country who launched Group for Democratic Belarus. It means that Belarusian voice will be heard here on the constant basis. And this is very important for us, so as Belarus now is not so much in focus as it was before, because there are so many other conflicts in the world, but it's very important to understand that Belarusian issue, Belarusian crisis, Belarusian fight for democracy in our country influence not only Belarusian society, but also the security of the whole Europe. So first of all, maybe I would update information about our country, what's going on. And Belarus now faces double crisis. The first one is humanitarian disaster, because since 2020, after fraudulent elections, and when Lukashenko's regime unleashed terror against people who opposed these fraudulent elections, so these repressions continue till now. Every day in Belarus, about 20 people are being detained for their political principles and views. If you are, if you're on the side of people who want to build a democratic country, you are enemy of this regime. If you are supporting Ukraine and Ukrainian army, you are enemy of this regime. If you supporting European perspective for Belarus, you are enemy of this regime, so they can detain you for any of this reason. Even for putting like in the internet or commenting something about Belarus, you might be detained for 10, 15, 20 years in jail. This is our reality, and the number of political prisoners in Belarus are up to 5,000 at the moment. The number of those people who fled repression since 2020 is about 500,000 already. So humanitarian catastrophe is obvious, and we, of course, want the democratic world to pay more attention to this. The other crisis problem we have in Belarus is threat to our sovereignty, because we see how Lukashenko, actually a dictator who seized power, he is selling our country piece by piece to Russia in exchange for political and economical support. And we have to remember that Lukashenko has long list of crimes, crimes against humanity, migration, orchestrating migration crisis on the borders, hijacking of airplane, then participation in the war, and also abduction of Ukrainian children from occupied territories. So Lukashenko must be treated as criminal, the same as Putin regarding this war. And we are paying very a lot of attention, you know, to bringing Lukashenko and his cronies to accountability on the international arena. So we are, as democratic forces, we are working on. We have like twofold strategy fighting with this regime. The first one is creating multiple points of pressure on the regime from outside the country and from inside the country. Inside the country, we, despite of all the repressions, majority of Belarusians are opposing this regime, and people creating small like communities who are communicating between each other, and every week in the country there are small acts of sabotage or disobedience just to irritate regime constantly. From outside, we are asking our democratic allies to impose as painful sanctions on Lukashenko's regime as possible, because of course sanctions is not silver bullet, but sanctions deprive regime of resources that go for repressions and for supporting Russia in this war. Also, we as democratic forces, we are building democratic institutions at the moment in exile, because it's almost impossible to work in the country. We have executive branch of alternative power. It's a United Transitional Cabinet and Coordination Council as proto-parliament, where parties, different NGOs, initiatives are participation. And of course, one of our priority is to stay in touch with people on the ground, not to lose this connection, and prepare for new window of opportunity that will help us to dismantle the regime. Also, you know, for the first time, maybe for these 30 years, Belarusian people maybe realized that we have to make this geopolitical choice for Belarus, because for 30 years, Lukashenko's policy was closer to Russia, this alliance with Russia, but Belarusian people always felt themselves as a European nation, and we actually want to return to our roots. That's why in August there was conference of democratic Belarus, and we agreed that we have to move towards European Union. And we understand that participation in European Union as alliance is rather long path, but we have to prepare for this now. And of course, we are asking our democratic allies to support this strive for European future for our country. And also, one of the latest challenge we have for Belarusian people is that Lukashenko's regime deprived all the Belarusian embassies and consulates the right to renew passports for Belarusians who are in exile. So now if you fled repressions, you can't return to Belarus because you will be detained immediately, and you can't renew your passport if your passport is expired. You can't get documents for your newborn children, for example. So consulates don't fulfill their duties, and that's why we of course, we have somehow to solve this problem, and we propose to our democratic partners a systematic solution. We are working on the issue of passports of New Belarus, our own passports. It's rather challenging and unprecedented case, but we, like, maybe we are the first. It's rather difficult to be the first, but we are determined in this, in our decision, and I hope that at the beginning of the next year we will issue the first specimens and we'll come to every government for seeking for recognition. And at that moment, of course, the opinion of Committee on Foreign Affairs will be very important, so we'll return for your support, maybe through the Group for Democratic Belarus. So maybe I will stop here. Just if there are any questions, I can answer later. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. I give the word to the Socialist Party, Paulo Pisco.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to have you here once again, because we have already met once in this parliament. And you know that from Portugal we have all the support that you can get. We are very engaged in general. The parties are very much engaged in supporting you. And what I can say in behalf of my parliamentary group is that we are following what is happening in Belarus, and most especially not only within the borders, but also with the Belarusians in exile. I'm also a member of the Council of Europe, and we have been following this issue in several matters, most especially about the problems that you mentioned related with the Belarusian in exile, because it causes a lot of problems. Of course, I think that is very much important that you keep on doing the work of having visibility, although you said that now you are not so much in the radars, but I think all the work you have been doing, promoting these international contacts with institutions and promoting a lot of events for speaking about the question of human rights, freedoms and liberties are of the utmost importance. So what we can say is, in from our part, that is something that we appreciate, that you keep on this fight. It's a fight for democracy, for liberty, and against the tyranny that is imposed by Lukashenko. There are some things that I also would like to ask you in this context very briefly, because I guess we only have 3 minutes, isn't it?
Yes.
Usually I speak a bit, always a bit too much. But the first is the question related with the deported or forced, the deported children from Ukraine to Belarus, because some of the reports say that at least, we don't know the exact figures, but at least 2,000 children have been deported to Belarus to summer camps or I don't know which kind of installations. And if you could give us some information concerning the situation, because underlines the practice of crime of genocide, the same way that Mr. Putin and Maria Lvova-Belova have been accused of the persecuted by the ICC for the crimes of genocide. Lukashenko also could be accused and persecuted by the ICC for the same crimes, because they are being an active member for hosting the children that are being stolen from the Ukraine. The other thing that I wanted to ask you is concerning also precisely the question of the Belarus in the exile, because this is of utmost importance also for the resistance that you're having. And if you're facing so much problems, for instance, in the level of identities and passports, for instance, and other things that can harm the legalization of the Belarusians that are in exile, that could cause also harm the resistance that you are having. And finally, I would like to ask you something. Do you think that if it's a possibility, nobody knows, if Putin falls in the context of the war against Ukraine, do you think that Lukashenko would also fall? What would be the consequences to Belarus if the Russian regime falls? So thank you very much, and keep on being brave and resisting, and with all those courage that you have been showing. And I guess you know you have friends in Portugal.
Thank you. Now I give the word to the Social Democrat Party, Tiago Moreira de Sá.
Good morning, all. John F. Kennedy said, "Let every nation know that we'll pay any price, support any burden, face any difficulty, support any friend, fight, face any enemy to ensure the triumph of freedom." Since the World War II, 3 generations of our families put the best of themselves to try to build a better world. A world of peace, freedom, democracy, rule of law, and human rights. That world, our world, is under attack. It's under attack in Belarus, in Ukraine, in Georgia, Moldova, Israel, Korea Peninsula, and many other parts of the globe. Revisionist totalitarian powers, such as Russia, Iran, and North Korea, are committed to take advantage of the end of the unipolar stability to attack the liberal and democratic international order. Totalitarianism is on the offensive, and democracy is on the defensive. It's time for democrats to rise up and fight for everything they believe and fought for all their lives. We must continue to support Ukraine, including with weapons and planes. We must support by all possible means the democratic forces fighting for democracy and rule of law in countries like Belarus. We must open the door of our European Union to all the European states that accept to live in accordance with our core values. Like John Kennedy said, we have to pay any price, support any friend, and face any enemy in the name of our love for freedom and democracy. We are prepared to pay any price to help you in your fight for freedom and democracy in your country, and thank you for that. It's very inspiring. We will lobbying for you in the European Union, in NATO, and in Brazil, and the African Portuguese-speaking countries. We will introduce a resolution here in the Parliament to call for the Portuguese government to give more support to the Belarus democratic movement. We will organize a parliamentary delegation to pay a visit to you in Vilnius to strengthen our links. And we will study, I cannot make a say much about that now, but we will study the question that Paulo Pisco raised and you raised also in the past of the possibility to bring Lukashenko to the ICC.
ICC.
We will study that. So thank you again very much for your fight. It's very, very inspiring to us.
Thank you. And now I give the word to the Social Democrat Isabel Meireles.
Thank you, Mrs. Chair. It's a privilege to know you, mainly you as a woman. It means that women have a wonderful role against injustice, against dictatorships, to democracy. I only want to say this, that you are an inspiration for all women, even those that are in democratic countries. We have, as you know, very difficult times, not only in the world, but also in Europe, and now in Portugal. We have a governmental crisis. We don't know what is going to happen. We'll have elections, at least democratic elections. After that, I think we can concentrate more international field because the future of your country, countries that are under dictatorships are the future of Europe and the future of our own country. We don't want to raise our children in a non-democratic way. And I have several Russian, namely, people that came to Portugal running several years ago, because they were predicting what Putin could do, and in fact he did. They are living in Portugal. They have already the Portuguese citizenship, and at least we do our part to host those people that run away from dictatorship. I wish you luck. As a woman and as a brave person, my colleague said that you were really fantastic, and I hope with the help of your colleagues you can handle this battle, and we hope to see you very briefly saying, yes, we won.
Thank you. And now I give the word to the Liberal Party. The word are shared from Rodrigo Saraiva and Patricia Gil Vaz.
Thank you so much. Fortunately, the event that I had end with the time to be here. And Patricia will speak in the name of our party, but I need to say this to transmit our respect and great admiration for your path and what you are doing, and just let a request that I know that your answer will be yes. Never give up on fighting for freedom and democracy. Thank you so much.
Hi, good morning. It's an honor to welcome you in Portugal, Portuguese Parliament. The Liberal Initiative shares the point of view of the Socialist Party and the Social Democratic Party, but would like to add that we have been paying attention on following up concerns that you brought to us, and we would like you to know that we considered that it's important for Europe that Belarus becomes a democratic country with liberal values, and it's what happened in the continent that we share, Europe. And and it's important too that you escape to Russian influence. We also want you to know that we will continue to support you and support Belarus community in Portugal, and we are available to collaborate with you.
Thank you. And now I give the word to you again.
Thank you so much for all your words of support and admiration for our cause. You know, very often, you know, the fight for democracy is romanticized. You know, this fight sometimes looks like beautiful uprising, but this path is paved with pain and tears, and it's very difficult to walk this path, but when we feel support of our friends of democratic powerful countries, it's much easier, you know, to we understand that we are not alone. And answering the questions about abduction of kids, we also have the same numbers, about at least 2,000 cases that we have proofs about, and all these documents have been delivered to ICC. And of course, our argumentation for launching special criminal investigation against Lukashenko and his thugs, that arrest warrant was given to Putin and Lvova Belova specifically for this case. So Lukashenko has to be on the same bench. But, you know, we don't see at the moment enough, I don't know, maybe political will or capacity of starting this investigation. And we need support of all the European countries who will push ICC in opening this case. So all the documents are there. And moreover, the company that produces fertilizers, you know, is also participation in abduction of Ukrainian children. So because, you know, previously it was discussions about lifting of sanctions on Belarus and potash. So I think it's out of the question now. And as for legalization passport project, and will Lukashenko fall if Putin falls? Deliver to you, Franek.
Good morning. Thank you so much. Belarusians right now have problems with receiving documents for their children who are born in exile. They cannot renew their passports. Many Belarusians living in Portugal, and yesterday we met hundreds of them. They will have expired passports very soon, and we ask the government to do three things. First, to recognize passports which expired as valid. So basically, you have the passport of Belarus, it expired last month, but still the government accepts this as a document. Second, to prolong the residence permits, so to issue it for longer term, even if your Belarusian documents are expired, you still can use them. And the third, to issue foreigner's passport. This is something that Portugal doesn't have in practice, but it has in laws. So in theory, it's possible to issue a travel document to Belarusians living here in Portugal, but there is we need political will. And we hope that after new elections, after new government formed, it will be done. Because we speak about hundreds of people who need it urgently. They are representative of IT sector primarily, of businesses who are living in Portugal, because Portugal is one of top five destination for Belarusian companies who were repressed. Most of them are very high-skilled workers. So this will be help from your side if you will help on the level of committee to simplify procedures. And of course, to not demand from Belarusians who ask for legalization in Portugal documents which need to return to Belarus, like apostille or police record, because it's a huge problem. People cannot return to Belarus and Portuguese authorities send them to Belarus. And there are dozens of people who return for these documents to Belarus, and now they are in prisons, just because some other foreign governments, they requested to do that. So it's a big deal. We ask Brussels to elaborate some instructions. We ask governments to work on instructions. It's not easy. It's unprecedented. UN Human Rights Committee and Office of High Commissioner are shocked because they never dealt with this. In 21st century, so many people, de facto stateless, come to EU countries and there is no solution here. So we will be asking you to support that, of course. And about the general situation of Belarusians in exile, most of them don't want to stay forever. Many of them don't want to ask for asylum, political. They want to return to Belarus. So our goal is to keep them united. And these meetings, like yesterday with business, like tonight with Belarusian diaspora, who work very closely with Ukrainian diaspora, they must feel this energy and support, not only from Belarusian leaders, but also from local authorities and from parliamentarians. So any words of support for Belarusians in exile who live in Portugal and in Europe from your side would be much appreciated. We will amplify them. People will have hope to continue the fight and to support changes in our country. And about Putin and Lukashenko fall, we see that Lukashenko can fall much earlier than Putin. Putin has a lot of resources. He has oil, he has gas, he has support from Russian people. He has China nearby, you know, which also interested to have Putin there. It seems China is interested to have business. For Lukashenko, he doesn't have. He only has Putin. Our goal is basically to weaken Lukashenko and to make this house of cards to collapse. And we saw in 2020 when protests in Belarus started, protests in Russia started after that. Russians are watching Belarusians. So the sequence can be different. First, Lukashenko's regime will start collapsing and rotting, and then Russia. And Ukrainians also understand it. We also work with Ukrainians much closer than before in order to weaken Lukashenko so much as possible. But from your side, it would be great to speak about sanctions, stronger sanctions, economic sanctions on Putin and Lukashenko together. Because Portugal recently spoke a lot about derogations, about potash, you know, that Global South is dependent on Belarusian fertilizers. It's not the case. Right now, fertilizers prices are going down. There is no big need of Belarusian potash. So if you can speak louder that, you know, of course, we have to supply fertilizers to Global South, but on the other hand, we should not, you know, minimize and ease pressure on Putin and Lukashenko. That would help if you do that.
I just add some as well ideas. Big thanks, Tiago, for picking up some of the things from yesterday as well on the study visit. It's very important. And just two more ideas. One is, as we mentioned, there was a big resolution passed recently in German Bundestag. So as soon as we'd have new elections, perhaps it would be a good time to pass the resolution on Belarus, because it hasn't been passed in the Portuguese parliament, and it will be very rightly to do so, to just again, reiterates the extra pressure on the Lukashenko regime. and the support to Belarusian people both inside the country and also in exile. And you mentioned as well the Council of Europe, you know, example, and the resolution that has been passed in PACE was phenomenal. And as well, you can take some of the formulations from their resolution to be used in the Portuguese Parliament. And as well, one very practical idea, we have a campaign to support political prisoners in Belarus. As Madam President mentioned, there are about 5,000 Belarusian political prisoners. And there is a campaign called the Sponsorship or Good Parenthood of Political Prisoners. It's managed by the human rights Swiss-German organization called Libereco. And basically, any MP all over the world, in Portuguese Parliament including, can take one political prisoner and have a sponsorship over him or her. We have a lot of women in prison, elderly people, people with diseases as well, people who have connections as well to countries like Spain and Portugal. So maybe we can provide some of this, you know, information to you, and you can select one of the persons. It will not take much of your time, but just to tweet or to when you talk to the media or your constituencies, and to mention the problem of political prisoners, because we know it's very close to Portugal, bearing in mind that you were suffering you know, from the same disease. And when Madam President visited Aljube in 2021, we see it's, you know, the stories are very, very, very similar. And the conditions in which people are held is not any better than it was, you know, here in Portugal 60 years ago. So that's something practical, concrete, and we would be very happy if you can contribute to it. And it will help people in prisons and give them hope.
Sorry, I have to intervene because I'm also a very practical person and I'm dealing for ages with migrants, namely refugees. We have two kinds of migrants, economic migrants that are willing to have a better life, but also political refugees. In fact, as I told you, in this very moment is a bad time to make this kind of laws. But one thing, because we are so inside of our problems, health, housing, educations, that we forget the other people that sometimes are living in Portugal. They want to come, or they cannot go, as you told, to have the residence permit. The person needs a criminal record and cannot go to Belarus to get it. So CEF, as you know, has been extinguished, and now people are still getting up. New people, new agency, new procedures. And I think once we have a new government, we should approach this. We cannot give passports. Belarus passports, it's not our competence. But I think the European Commission, not the Council of Europe, that only recommends, but the European Commission can present regulations, directives, whatever, and let them put in force with the Council and the European Parliament in order to protect not only Belarusian, but Russians, but Israelis and other people that came to our country searching a new and better life. Thank you.
Thank you. We once again we congratulate you to your work and to your fight to the peace and freedom and democracy. We are in Portugal very concerned about your country and the war between Russia and Ukraine, and also with in Israel. And we hope in the near future you are a freedom country and a democratic country. That's our desire. Thank you very much for coming here in the parliament.